KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, presented by the Northwest Film Center. While cinema provides entertainment and escape, for many filmmakers and viewers, it is a vital portal into the lives of others, a medium of engagement, and a powerful tool for social action. Films will be shown from Thursday, October 6th through Wednesday, November 9th, and include the films Familia, Sing Your Song, An African Election, Windfall, and more. Again, that's Voices in Action, Human Rights on Film, presented by the Northwest Film Center, located at the Witzel Auditorium, 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information about the films can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Do you worry that corporate power is totally out of control? Tune into the KBOO Evening News every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. beginning August 5th to hear the new weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. I'll be sharing stories about communities that are rising up against corporate control and passing laws that exercise their right to govern themselves. That's every Tuesday on the KBOO Evening News beginning August 5th. Don't miss it.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Triangle Productions run of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche, starting November 28th and ending on December 20th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. This is a comedic look at the window of 1956's Susan B. Anthony Society for the Sisters of Gertrude Stein, as they sit in their renovated community center, sharing secrets as the threat of atomic apocalypse nibbles at their heels. Again, that's the Triangle Productions performance of Five Lesbians Eating Quiche at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, November 4th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And today, of course, as we all know, is midterm election day 2014. It is absolutely guaranteed to probably cough up some strange surprises. We are going to try to get a number of guests on today because it's election day. All bets are off. In the past, it's been iffy. But nonetheless, we should be speaking today with Common Cause Oregon. Janice Thompson no longer works at that organization, so someone else will be joining us. And we should be talking with Tom Needham with Working Families. And as many listeners know, many people support Working Families is the party that stands for a lot of the same values that are espoused amongst liberal organizations. That said, as sort of a brief clearinghouse, my feeling about the entire thing is, why don't we settle this the old-fashioned way? War. The only thing that this was, what, a $4 billion $4 billion spent on this. Think what that money could have done. And that's just that's $4 billion that I stated is probably a great deal more than that. A lot of that money we don't know and we'll never know, really, where it's coming from. So since the and past elections, the tampering with voting boxes was in the headlines. And of course, that can be traced. That can be verified. A voting box, the piece of equipment, the technology is there, and people could go and take a look at it and analyze is something of what happened, and to tell that story. But in the case of money, it moving so fast along so many different electronic pathways from its origins, murky, to its eventual appearance on televisions and in mailboxes and on computers across the country. We really have no idea where that money has been, how dirty it ultimately is. So take that $4 billion with a grain of salt, even though it is an absolutely staggering sum of money. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, small farmers across the country still struggling. The environment is still under siege. These are days when corporate interests get away with murder. We have in Measure 92 the labeling of GMO foods, and of course that's ultimately got to happen. Of course, there is some degree of labeling, but as any sensible person would know, don't trust any of this. Verify for yourself. And at the bottom of the whole situation is we shouldn't be growing GMO things anyway. Other countries in the world do not trust our agricultural products because they don't trust exactly how those things were made in the first place. So the solution to it is labeling is great, but let's stop it at the root cause, no pun intended, at the root cause. No GM foods, no need to label. Same goes for fracking and pipelines and bulk trains and so forth. If we're not mining fossil fuels, then none of that becomes an issue. Well, we really need to get back to the fundamentals here. That's what this election should be about. It's what it's not been about thus far. That's why it is so frustrating. That's why it's important to keep focused on things that really matter, things like the destruction of the environment, the war-torn world that we have made for our children. And how about it? Might as well just have a civil war and get it over with. It would probably ultimately be cheaper to just let them fight it out. Lord knows that our police departments are armed with state-of-the-art military ordnance. Might as well just go for that. And so with midterm elections, however, in Oregon, once again, because Oregon's single serious urban area can sway a whole election because one or two small-time provincial weeklies put out very persuasive voters' guides, what this means is that small numbers can make a huge difference, and we could very easily see a shift in the balance of power in the governor's mansion because a small-time provincial weekly decided that it would throw its weight around in the run-up in the weeks before the election. Was this a good judgment? Probably sold a lot of advertising. Probably raked in the money and probably provided the muckrakers with plenty of muck. Was it a wise decision? Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, won't we? And the Working Families Party goes into Election Day contesting more races in more states than ever before. If you got a few minutes to spare from the final GoTV activities, is people really might want to take a look at some of the working families' highlights around the nations and the governor's races all over the country are going to be won and lost on a different battlefield than ever before. We just talked about it. We're still waiting to get our guests on the air. And oil giant ExxonMobil is seeking unprecedented secrecy by labeling nearly 900,000 pages of documents as confidential in a class action lawsuit over an oil pipeline rupture in Mayflower, Arkansas. More on that later. They get this. The attorney, his name is Tom Thrash, said Exxon's blanket assertion of confidentiality prevents affected property owners and the public from learning exactly whether Exxon had properly maintained and repaired the 1940s era Pegasus oil pipeline in the heart of the case, and it has forced him to file his arguments under seal. So, go Thrash. I hope he does end up thrashing Exxon, but it'll be a stiff uphill battle because of what amounts to a gag order. Turns out that it's possible to label things confidential after the fact. Turns out that it's possible to label whatever you want, legal or illegal, as the situation demands, after the fact. The NSA is spying and breaking laws. Simple, change the laws. Seems to be working pretty well so far. How about this? Every time we pass a new law, we should get rid of an old one. And laws passed should not be regarded with such a cavalier attitude and judged on whether or not they serve the final ends and goals of corporate interests. Catherine Austin Fitz, has the Solaris Fund, has said again and again that the corporatization of this country has gone on and hand in glove with the USA Patriot Act for lo these many years, and for long before the USA Patriot Act, for that matter, the USA Patriot Act began long before the USA Patriot Act. The 21st of October, Governor Tom Corbett of Pennsylvania signed into law a bill targeting Mumia Abu-Jamal and all other Pennsylvania prisoners. This law, as we were just talking about laws, allows the district attorney and or the attorney general to go to court and get an injunction to prevent Mumia from speaking and prison radio from recording. You do understand that. We're all on the same page here. This is an extraordinary piece of legislation. This bill, Senate Bill 508, passed the Pennsylvania Assembly. The governor signed it into law on the 21st of October. The right wing has led an attempt to silence movies simply an attempt to silence what he and other prisoners have to say in an attempt to frame the discussion away from, and I do mean far away from, state and police accountability and serious reflection on how our whole culture can move forward in this landscape where there are gigantic sinkholes of secrecy around every corner. Again, these are laws that are enacted solely for the convenience of a right-leaning political architecture, and the corporate underpinnings of that architecture, the corporate financing of that architecture, something that we can talk about being aware of, but we have no notion of how we would go in and begin to the task of dismantling this architecture. There is so much to talk about today. I don't know how we're going to get through it. We're still waiting for our guests to join us. Nearly 100 people from across the country participated in a nonviolent direct action protest this the other day, shutting down the office of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in D.C. Anybody pay attention to that? No. Why? Because we're distracted by this ridiculous midterm election, which is virtually a civil war fought in the streets of Wall Street, because that's where the money is really duking it out there and in D.C. The action was led by some of the Great March for Climate Change marchers who arrived at the nation's capital on November 1st after the 3,000-mile cross-country walk from L.A. 25 people were arrested, and violently too, I might add, in a very rough manner. The group We Are Seneca Lake, we had 15 people arrested at an anti-gas blockade entering the third week, starting at 7 a.m. yesterday morning. Protesters blocked the gates of the Texas-based Crestwood Midstream's gas storage facility. That's on the shore of Seneca Lake in New York. Fragile environment that affects many thousands of people. 50 people at this action were arrested. And the Crestwood, of course, the police showed up last week. 10 other protesters were arrested in acts of civil disobedience. The We Are Seneca Lake people are not stopping. It's this is a no retreat and no surrender action that has rolled forward despite the incredibly sexy stories about governor's races across the country and measures like 92, the GMO, and marijuana here in out here in Cascadia. Larry Klayman is a conservative gadfly lawyer, has made a career of skewering Democratic administrations. More on the antics of the always entertaining Larry Klayman. That's coming up as soon as the dust settles, when it should settle by tomorrow. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, November 4th, 2014. Janet Ellison engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, 12 ways Jim Crow is winning in 2014. We'll speak to Harvey Wasserman about his new article. Also, a frontline report from Puebla, Mexico on the killing of the students and the search for their killers. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and we continue our pre-election coverage and the attempts